All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. I appreciate your patience as you were listening to that theme song, No One Else, by Gregory Stafford. Had a little bit of a technological glitch that we had to take care of. But again, appreciate your patience. And believe me, well worth it. Ready for some more real talk about real life, everybody? Well, you are just in time because we have just the guest to help us with real talk about real life, especially when it comes to walking the walk. Our guest is Mrs. Karen Wright Marsh, who's written a book entitled Vintage Saints and Sinners, 25 Christians Who Transformed My Faith. Karen, how are you doing?
I am doing well, Carl, on this beautiful end of October day.
How are you? I'm doing well on this beautiful end of October day, too, especially now that it has warmed up a little bit. I'm not one of those fans of cold weather, and so I know this sounds terrible to a lot of people, but if all fall and all winter long we were in the 70s and 80s, I'd be real happy.
Well, I think you're living in the right city and the right state for that, so your chances are good.
The chances are good. That is so true. Well, you know, Karen, I mentioned that we're going to have some real talk about real life, and specifically when it comes to people who say, I'm a follower of Christ, and the challenge of living as though we're followers of Christ. I'm saying challenges, isn't it, you know, once we become born again, we're walking with Christ, we have His Spirit in us, isn't it a piece of cake to actually live the life?
That has not been my experience. No, I just think, you know, I think we do have that idea that, you know, if we have this transformation, this conversion, this spiritual high experience, that everything is going to be great. But nobody who's lived any kind of life knows that you know, life is tough and there are ups and downs, and faith is a journey, and you know, God is leading us and teaching us through all kinds of periods. And so I think, you know, for me, that's why the stories of other believers is so encouraging, because I see the struggles that they had. And so, you know, it just gives me some hope in my own, and a sense of comfort that, you know, other people who've been so faithful, you know, went through all kinds of difficulties. So, you know, why would I expect it to be any different?
I hear you. And ladies and gentlemen, I am so glad that Karen started the conversation for us on that note. The fact that she's looked at others who have really, really walked the walk, found out what life was like from a big picture perspective, and then narrowed it down to this is how they did it. That said, though, Karen, could you take us back to life for Karen when you were much, much younger than before you began to read this book? What got you started in your walk of faith to begin with?
Well, I am a pastor's daughter. I am married to a pastor's son. So we have, you know, we both grew up in the church. Very much. My father is a Presbyterian minister. And so, you know, I grew up with the name of Jesus spoken in the house every day, prayer, you know, to very faithful parents and faithful grandparents. So, you know, my family often talked about my inheritance as a Christian, as part of the community of faith. And so that was always just a part of the scenery for me. And, you know, I've written a book here about saints and sinners. I didn't grow up with too many, you know, the idea of saints in my life so much. It was more people from the Bible, you know, heroes of the Bible, and heroes in my own family, my grandparents, other Christians in my life. So, you know, I did have a lot of examples coming up, but I think, you know, as for many of us, my own faith journey was something that with my own, I had to grow up into it. I went to a Christian college. I majored in philosophy and linguistics, and you know, I can't say with like some other people have very pinpoint stories that day when they met Jesus. But for me, it's been a process and a growing throughout my life. So it started very early.
And you had, as you mentioned, the benefit of growing up under and with parents who were committed. I'm curious as to whether at some point in your life, whether early on or later on. You began to see examples that were the opposite of what you mm-hmm. saw in your parents.
Sure. Oh, well, and you know, I think growing up in the church, it's a wonderful thing, and I always felt like I belonged. But I also saw up close people's flaws, you know, people who said they believed one thing and did something else. I think when you live in a preacher's house, you're aware of some of the things, some of the drama within the church, and, you know, even Christians themselves who didn't, you know, who didn't live up to what I thought they should be. And, of course, when I went to college and then starting in the work world, you, as you get out into the bigger world and you read the newspaper, I mean, there are so many examples of people who don't live lives of kindness or grace or love, you know, people who really exemplify conflict and tension and greed. So, you know, all of us have seen that in our lives and in the world around us.
That's so true. In fact, and you hear so many people who may visit churches from time to time. They themselves are not walking with Christ, don't even pretend to be. But they'll see some things going on that really bother them, and they'll talk about the hypocrites in the church. Of course, we have people who are walking with Christ, who are attending church, may or may not be very, very mature in their walk, in their lives as Christians, and they can be impacted by inconsistencies that they observe. I'm saying that to ask you this. What helped you not be pulled down by the inconsistencies?
Yeah. Well, I don't know that I wasn't pulled down. I mean, I still get really frustrated and disappointed many times, you know, people that we look up to, we put on pedestals, and then we see them, we see their flaws, and, you know, there are all kinds of public examples of that. But I think, you know, when I look at the alternatives, I was just talking to a friend of mine this morning about, we were talking about our own faith journeys and our children, and we said, you know, when we have struggles, when we're lonely or we have a crisis, we have people to turn to who share our spiritual grounding, who share our perspective in Christ. And, you know, if you don't have that, you just don't have as many resources, I think, that you can share with others. You can't go to people with the same kind of immediacy and the same kind of honesty and transparency. I mean, for us, the people of faith have really shown us grace. Individuals have shown us grace and love. And there have been enough of those that it just keeps me coming back to the community of the church. Without, you know, without idealizing that, but taking those gifts for what they are and seeing the kindness. And again, we look at bigger pictures, too. We look at the American Civil Rights Movement, you know, people who lived lives of faith and Christian commitment, you know, in public and did amazing, brave things that they did through the power of Christ. You know, the abolition movement, other social justice movements where people have been animated by their faith. And that just, you know, to me, that's a great response to, oh, Christians are hypocrites. You know, they don't believe they don't act like they believe. I mean, many Christians have. Many Christians have given their very lives for what they believe in. And I think there are enough examples of those to keep me on the side of the Christians, or at least cheering them on.
I agree. And that's such an excellent point, too, that while there are people who are inconsistent with their confession and their actual lifestyle, there are many who are consistent. And we do ourselves, anyone who would just focus on the people who are not consistent, do themselves a disservice by ignoring, dismissing the other part that's right there in front of their faces as well.
Yes, yes. I mean, sure, I mean, it's easy to dwell on the negative, but you know, I just think if you keep an open heart and an open mind, I mean, we're all inconsistent. We're all human. And if you think that people of faith are going to be any different, then that's just something you need to get. You need to work through that because you will always be disappointed. And but you'll always be encouraged, too. I think if you're open to the goodness and kindness of people around you, many people we don't even recognize or, you know, we don't acknowledge. They're not public, big public people, but you know, I think we all have stories of grandmothers or relatives or neighbors who showed us goodness and kindness. And I think it's just, it makes sense to give them credibility too, give them attention.
I agree. It's fair to them, and it's fair to the onlookers. It's fair to the one who's observing.
Right.
It's just such a, again, a disservice. If we really want to see what is in the picture, to decide, well, I'm only going to look at the right, the upper right corner, and I'm going to dismiss everything else.
Yeah.
Well, we've already made a decision that we're not going to look at the whole picture. We decided we only want to see part of it. And then what do we do with the rest of it? And that's part of what you've done with your book entitled Saints and Sinners, 25 Christians Who Vintage Saints and Sinners, 25 mm-hmm. Christians Who Transformed My Faith. You look at the whole picture and you look at people. It's all about people, real people who really lived. And you talk about their lives and how their lives have impacted your real life.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, the people that I write about in Vintage Saints and Sinners, many of them, we know their names. We've heard of Martin Luther, of course. Tomorrow's the big 500th anniversary of the Reformation and his brave act. We've heard of C.S. Lewis. We've heard of Augustine. We've heard of, you know, St. Francis. And for me, the fascinating part of writing this book is looking and digging deeper into their personal lives, finding out what they were doing when they were in their teens and 20s, when they were young people searching, and realizing that they had a lot of doubts. They had flaws to the end of their lives. And so to me, that just bringing them down off the pedestal allows me to take a closer look and consider them to be mentors, to be older brothers and sisters, people that I can follow, not just people that I have to kind of worship as inaccessible saints, but real pilgrims. And I love their stories, and I have learned so much through the work of this book.
Well, you know, I would love for you to do something for us. When we come back, could you take, let's just start, if we could, with Augustine.
Sure.
And talk about some of the major struggles he had en route to his religious awakening. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to hear this, because I know that there's some of you out there saying, this sounds good, but I know my life. You all don't know me like I know me. There's no way I could ever get to where Karen is saying she is. These people inspired her. I'm going to enjoy hearing it, but there's no way I could make any real change. Stay with us. You might be surprised. We'll be right back.
Great.